Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the ministry of Jesus, as recorded in the book of Mark. On our last program, we left off talking about Jesus raising a young girl from the dead. This young girl was very sick. Her father had come to Jesus and asked Jesus to come heal her. By the time Jesus arrived, the little girl had died. Jesus looks at the father and says, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He takes Peter, James, and John and the parents into the room where the body of the child is lying. He takes the child by the hand and he commands her to arise. And the 12-year-old girl rises up immediately and is restored to life. It's an incredible miracle. Jesus concludes by telling the parents not to tell anyone about it. Now that's very interesting to me. It's interesting that earlier in chapter 5, when he cast out the demons in the region of the Gadarenes, he told the man who had been healed to go tell his family. But here, he tells the parents, "Do not tell anyone." I think the difference lies in where these miracles took place. This miracle took place among the Jewish people, whereas the miracle earlier when he cast the demons out took place among the Gentiles. And so I wonder if there wasn't some reason on Jesus' part for the Jewish people not to hear about Jesus from anyone other than Jesus himself. That seems to be the case. He insists that this little girl get something to eat, which is just going to further confirm the fact that she is alive. So Jesus has shown us that he has power over the forces of nature, that he has power over the demonic realm, that he has power over sicknesses like that woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years and could not be healed by any physicians. He's got power over sicknesses, and he's got power over life and death. But not everyone was anxious to believe in Jesus. Not everyone accepted what Jesus had to say. He leaves this region, and in chapter number 6, he goes to his own country. His disciples go with him. On the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, and this is the synagogue where Jesus grew up. And the people were astonished at his teaching. And they begin to ask, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. Sometimes it's not easy going home. Sometimes people remember who you were when you were a child, and it makes it difficult for them to accept you. Now, in the case of Jesus, we have no reason to believe that he was anything but an upright and righteous young man. But the fact that he came to his hometown synagogue and began to teach a new message and was showing power to heal drew a stark contrast from the young man that they had known and from the family that they had known. We thought we knew this guy. We know his parents. We know his brothers and his sisters. And so rather than embrace Jesus as so many others in Galilee had done, they rejected him. And Jesus tells us why in verse number 4. He says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." As I said earlier, sometimes it's difficult going home because people are a little less likely to accept you. They remember your childhood. They can remember who you are. They might remember your family. And they could think to themselves, well, this isn't like the person I knew growing up. As Jesus says, a prophet is much more likely to be received far away from home. A prophet is likely to be received by someone who is not related to him. And as we saw back in chapter number 3, his own family was reluctant to believe in Jesus. Now, as I said on that program a few weeks ago, I'm not sure where Mary fell in all this. We know that Mary was told who Jesus was when he was conceived in her womb. We know that Mary watched very closely as Jesus grew up, and she treasured the things that she observed in her heart. But where Mary's at in all of this, I'm just not quite frankly sure. We know that she witnessed his crucifixion because John, Jesus' closest disciple, is told to take care of Mary. We do know for certain that his brothers had rejected him. We know that from John chapter 7. So even Jesus' family was skeptical about him, which is why he looks to his disciples and says, hey, the one who does my Father's will, he or she is my father or mother or brother or sister. They're my family. So Jesus has run into this problem a couple of times now. And the skepticism is so deep that in verse number 5, Mark tells us he could do no mighty work there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. We see back in chapter 4 how the disciples grew afraid when they were in the middle of a storm and they woke Jesus and seemed to lack a lot of faith. They wake Jesus in the middle of the storm and they're afraid. Where is their faith? But in chapter 5, we see a man who seems to be healed by a measure of faith, and a woman who's healed by a measure of faith. And Jesus tells the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, just believe. Here we see the effect of unbelief. Unbelief is standing in the way of Jesus performing the signs and wonders that he has performed elsewhere. And the skepticism is so deep that Jesus is amazed by it. So he goes on his way and begins teaching in the villages nearby in a circuit. He's going around to various places and teaching about the kingdom of God. At this point, Jesus sees fit to call the 12 he had appointed a few chapters before to be his apostles. He sends them out two by two. He gives them the power to cast out unclean spirits, and he tells them to take nothing with them as if they were going on a journey. The apostles are about to go through some what I would call guided practice. Jesus is giving them an opportunity to begin preaching and begin healing under his supervision. He tells them in verse number 10, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear from you when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Notice that Jesus is preparing his disciples to be rejected. And that, by Mark, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is put right next to what Jesus had experienced in Nazareth. Jesus had experienced rejection. His disciples had seen people become offended at his teaching. And now he's sending them out and he's saying, there'll be some places that will do the same to you. They won't accept what you have to say. Just shake the dust off your feet and move on to the next location. What he says, though, about Sodom and Gomorrah gets my attention. Can you imagine standing before the throne of God, having heard the good news of the kingdom of God, having seen men who had the power to cast out demons and to heal sicknesses, but you hadn't received them? You hadn't believed what they had to say? You had your doubts about their miraculous power? Maybe you were like the Pharisees and thought, well, they must be getting that power from Satan. Jesus says, if you're that type of person, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to have an easier day on the day of judgment than you will. Sodom and Gomorrah are the epitome of evil in the Bible. And yet, it will be easier for them on the day of judgment than it will be for those who refuse to listen to the Lord. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah never had the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They never had the evidence of these miracles laid out before them. So we need to be very careful. We don't want to find ourselves on the day of judgment disappointed because we didn't follow what the Lord told us. We didn't accept his word. So the apostles go out, they preach that people should repent, they cast out many demons, they anoint many with oil who were sick and they healed them. They're doing everything Jesus commissioned them to do. But word about Jesus and about his apostles reaches the ears of King Herod. Herod doesn't know what's going on. He thinks that maybe this man Jesus is actually John the Baptizer who's risen from the dead. Other people thought, though, that Jesus might be Elijah or the prophet or one of the prophets. This is another one of those places where we see how much confusion there was about the identity of Jesus. People weren't sure who he was. Herod thought he was John the Baptist raised from the dead, but others thought he was Elijah. And the reason they thought he was Elijah was because of a prophecy in the book of Malachi. One of the last prophecies in the Old Testament predicted that Elijah would come. Now, Jesus tells us that the Elijah to come was actually John the Baptist. So people weren't interpreting that particular passage correctly. And they certainly weren't applying it to Jesus correctly either. They wondered if he wasn't the prophet. And by that, they mean the prophet that Moses had predicted back in Deuteronomy chapter 18, a prophet that would be like him, like Moses. And Moses says, when he comes, you need to listen to him. In that case, they're right, because that prophet to come was, in fact, Jesus. So there's a lot of confusion as to who Jesus is. But Herod thinks it's John the Baptist. And Herod is terrified, because he has had John the Baptist put to death.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that Jesus died for our sins. Scripture says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have made mistakes and failed to live up to God's expectations. And there is no good thing we can do to make amends for the wrong we have done. For that reason, God offers Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus lived a perfect life and offered himself on the cross as a payment for our sins. If you want to know more about what Jesus has done for you and how you can live for him, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.